So, hey, we're starting a new series this week, and I'm pretty excited about it. It's a summer series. Summer series tend to be a little more freeform in terms of, like, they don't, like you don't need to come 2-3 weeks in a row, you know what I mean? Because we understand you travel. You don't come every week in a row. We get that. So, we designed this so that you can just kind of come in and out of it. But if you're in town, we'd love for you to do that. Thank you, Heather. My lovely sister, everybody. Heather Warner. Yeah. Charity got the water, but she sent somebody else to do it. Just in case I threw it back at you, right? Thank you. Very helpful. So we know that you kind of might be in and out, and if you're in town, we hope that you would come to worship, you know, be here, part of it, you know, be part of this community. If you're out of town, then watch online, and you can stay pace with it. But of all the sermons to listen to for this series, the first one is the most important, so I'm glad you're here, and if you're watching online, we're thankful for you too. This one kind of lays the groundwork for the rest of the summer. Have you ever set out to do something positive or something good and then not done that thing? Like you had every intention of doing a really good thing, but then you didn't do that thing. You've got really good intentions. You just never actually pulled the trigger on that. And instead, you just fail to do anything good, let alone the specifically good thing that you expected and intended to do. Anybody else like that? Okay. Yeah, a couple weeks ago, I had on my mind to reach out to my friend Josh Pennington. He's the pastor over at More Life Church just down the road a mile or two. And it was just like, just reach out. Just say hi. Ask him how he's doing. He'd had some decently major health issues that he was struggling with. What's going on? You need... Okay. I never printed any. Okay. All right. Sorry. No notes today. You'll figure it out. Yeah. Sorry about that. So I thought, reach out to Josh. It had been a week or two since I heard from him. I wanted to see how his health was doing. The whole day passed by. I did nothing. And then the next morning at like 5 a.m., I was like, oh, I should reach out to Josh today. And then that whole day, guess what I did not do? Reach out to Josh. And then the third day came, and I was like, ah, today's the day. I got to reach out to that guy. And then a week later, Josh calls me. He had a question, like just a question. And I was like, man, I was thinking about you last week. He's like, that's funny. I never heard from you. And he said, and I had a terrible week, and now I blame you for that. There's good intentions that we want to do good things, but we're powerless to do them sometimes because it's just an intention. We can't even do the good things that we want to do. But on the other hand, there's this. Have you ever declared that you're going to stop doing something negative or stop doing something bad that you wish you would stop doing? The things you want to stop doing, and you kind of have a hard time doing those things again. The next thing you know, you're right back there doing that same thing again. It's especially active when it comes to our pet sins, our sins that we like to hang on to that maybe nobody really knows about. We don't tell anybody about them because then they'll hold us accountable to them, and then we kind of have to stop doing them because somebody's going to ask us about them. We might even lay in bed awake at night going, God, I tell you tomorrow I will stop doing blank. I will no longer do that thing that I'm feeling guilty about. How many of us have made that promise before? How many? You're safe here. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, then you're probably lying. You should work on that one. I've certainly had that over and over in my life in regards to sin. But let me illustrate it in another way. My wife and I, Bethany, were on... we're doing this thing called Noom. It's a food tracking plan that helps you to ostensibly lose weight. We've been doing it since January. It categorizes food from green, which is good, yellow, which is not as good, and then orange, because they don't want to be red, is bad. But so orange is not as good as even yellow or green or whatever. But as you can imagine with any diet plan, they don't want you eating loads of breads and desserts and cheese and, you know, things that are calorie dense. But it's graduation season. And we're going through party after party after party, and every single one of them has cookies. And you know what are really good are cookies. R&M cookies. Everybody has R&M cookies, and they're amazing. Some of you don't like R&M cookies, but some of you love them. I'm one of those. I love them. But we made a lot of cookies. Some of them are here today. Enjoy. Please eat the cookies. But you know what's even better than cookies? Is the cookie dough. Yes, the cookie dough. Especially when you're not allowed to eat the cookie dough. Do you know what's even better than cookie dough? Secret cookie dough. When their back is turned and they have, I'm totally confessing all of this right now. When their back is turned or they go someplace else for a minute and there's a whole bowl of cookie dough right there. And yes, I'm aware of the salmonella risk, but I'm 45 years old. I've never had it. And I don't know anybody who has. We are powerless sometimes to do the good things that we want to do, but on the other hand, we are powerless to not do the things that we don't want to do. Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul wrote about this, 7 verses 15 through 23. Says, "For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law." That is good. "So now it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is my flesh. For I have a desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want, I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it's no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me." He's got this battle in his head. He's like, I want to do these good things, but those are the things that I don't do. I don't want to do these bad things, and yet these are the things that I keep on doing. Anybody else feel like that from time to time? Here's how Jesus said it. He simplified it a lot more. John 8:35. "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." This is kind of a downer sermon so far, isn't it? Yeah. But the point is that we have this powerlessness to do the things we want to do. There's this brokenness that pervades every human being. We don't always do wrong. We're not always incapable of doing right. But there is this sense that there's a brokenness inside of us where we can't keep it right. It's just part of the human condition. We're using this phrase, we're all recovering from something because of this brokenness that is within us. It's a phrase we picked up from Reggie, and Donnie's using it with the I Am Project. And we all have something that we have issues with because we're humans. And we often start with this idea that I will do better tomorrow. Tomorrow, I won't repeat this sin. I will make that call tomorrow, supposing I remember to call. I will do better tomorrow. I'll not yell at my kids tomorrow. I'll not look at porn tomorrow. I'll not cuss tomorrow. I'll read my Bible tomorrow. But the real starting place should be, I am broken today. I'm broken right here, right now. The problem with saying I will do better tomorrow is that we assume that we'll have the ability to manage life, whatever life is like tomorrow. We can manage tomorrow even though we could not manage life today. Somehow we think tomorrow will be better. I'll be able to do it tomorrow. Everyone wants to have this appearance that we're managing life well. We've got it all together. Everything is going fine. I can manage all of this stuff. We want to be seen as the one who's calling the shots in our life. I've got it under control. I've got everything under control. But can you admit that you are broken today? Today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about yesterday. Just today. Forget about all of the other things. Just say, today, I admit I can't manage what I've got going on even today. Can you admit that you probably aren't in control? Let's remind ourselves of our origins. We go back to Genesis. We see Adam and Eve. They've been set up in perfect life, in a perfect kingdom, in what's called the Garden of Eden there. It's a beautiful paradise. God's laid out all of the rules. This is how you live in this kingdom life. And there was really one thing that they are prohibited from doing, and that is to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Do not eat the fruit from this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that is when we realize that even the first humans were not able to manage life even for that one day. They become tempted. Here's Genesis 3, 4, and 5. It says, "But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil.'" In other words, the deceiver promises Eve the ability to manage her own life. You can determine right from wrong. You don't even need God for that anymore. You can manage apart from God. That's the great deception that we all have. So she's promised this ability to manage her own life apart from God. And what happens next? What does she do? What does she do? She takes a bite, but what's the next thing she does? She tries to manage somebody else. Yeah. I got this now for me. Now let me try to manage you, because I've got it all together now. So she goes to Adam. And you know what? That's what we try to do today. We try to manage other people. We try to control them. I try to control people. I try to control situations, my family, the people I work with. I try to line up scenarios where I look good or smart or funny. I try to manage it so that I'm the guy with the ideas, and maybe I'm the hardest worker. I'm just trying to manage other people, especially their perception of me. How many else would admit to that? It's what we do. How many of you have ever used deception to make your life more manageable? Yeah. We're not much different than the first humans. We're just using deception to try to manage each other. But here's the thing. Until you find something you cannot manage yourself, you may never really find God. That's the sad part of it. It's a scary thought. Some might call it rock bottom. So we finally hit the point where we can no longer manage this ourselves, and that's when we turn to God. Maybe it's a health scare, a relational issue, a blow up at work, a series of decisions that you've made that gets you to this point. But often we don't see God's hand working or moving in our life until we admit that we are powerless to manage this on our own. In order to accept Jesus' invitation to wholeness, we must first admit our brokenness. And that's not you. It's us. It's all of us. We're all in this thing together. And church is often the place where we go to show that everything is great, right? Like we put on our good clothes and we come out and we have smiles on our face where we're hashtag blessed all the time, baby. It's great. Everything is going good. But the reality is quite different than that. And we know this because we're human beings. And we think we're putting on a facade and we don't have it as good off as somebody else, but they're just putting on one too. And they might have it worse than you. I remember there's an older lady at a former church that I worked at. She was very independent. She was in her 80s. She tried to do everything for herself on her own a lot. But in the span of 1 week, she fell off a ladder because she was trying to trim a branch on a tree. She electrocuted herself trying to fix her oven. She didn't die from any of these things. She hurt her hand trying to fix a tire on her car. And on top of that, there was a blow-up in her relationship with her adult daughter, and they were no longer speaking. And so on Sunday, I asked, how are you? Are you okay? And she said, oh, I'm blessed. And I was like, if that's blessing, I don't want anything to do with it. Because that's terrible. Life sucks right now for you. Let's be honest about it. We need to be a body of believers that can confess our struggles and our pain, that we admit to our sin, we admit to our brokenness, and instead of judgment, our reaction to be should be in those situations, we should go, me too. Me too. I'm struggling too. I'm having a hard time too. If we're to be a community together, the kind of community that Jesus desires, we have to break through the thin veneer of superficiality and appearance and be authentic about ourselves. We should dethrone the idols of pride, the idols of our image and appearance, and just admit that we are powerless. And we should name our brokenness. It's a shame that most of us have never experienced church that way before. I would venture to say that if you've been raised in the church and gone to church much in your life, that you would have experienced pridefulness, arrogance, some condescending judgment in church. That's where I hear most stories like that. And then when somebody falls, or we hear of people fall, or somebody just admits their brokenness, that's when we see rejection. At the time when somebody needs it the most, that's when we see rejection. I've heard lots and lots of stories of folks who felt rejected by the church because of a certain area of brokenness in their life. And to be very clear, I'm part of this. I have done these things. There's people who could tell stories about the harm that I've done for them. I've been doing ministry a long time, and I haven't always done it like this, okay? So I confess that, and I would love for you to forgive me for those things. I'm not perfect. Engage Newark Church is not perfect, but let me apologize to you. If you've experienced brokenness, especially at our hands, we deeply apologize to you. When we started Engage Newark Church, we had in mind young families, people with young children, to make up the largest percentage of folks who would be a part of the like genetic makeup of our church. And so we started Little Arrows Play Cafe with that in mind. But we also prayed specifically for people who were on the margins of life to be part of the church, to be full members of our community, not projects for rescue, but to worship alongside young families and people from other churches, people who are in recovery, worshiping alongside a young mom who is a single mom with children, people who are in reentry, serving alongside volunteers who have done it for 20 years, people who are homeless, worshiping alongside, right beside somebody who has a mansion. Does anybody have a mansion? Because I'd like to know. I don't think we have any. That prayer hasn't come yet. These two groups, young families and people in recovery, aren't often seen together, especially in church. I remember telling this vision to a seasoned church member, and they said, good luck with that one. I don't know how you're going to pull that off. And I said, me neither. We're just going to pray about it. Paul describes in the book of Acts this mismatched group of people that were following Jesus. He says, Jew and Greek, slave and free, male and female, rich and poor, tax collectors and zealots, former priests, former prostitutes. These are people who would not normally mix. And yet in our differences, because of Christ, there is incredible unity. We do not have unanimity in our politics. We do not have the same social statuses. We look differently ethnically. We have different economics. We are people who would not normally mix together. And we would not mix together if we based it on our strengths. Rather, we gather not because of our resources of our giftedness. We don't gather because of our wealth status. We don't gather because of our political beliefs. None of those things bind us together. Instead, we gather because we all recognize our powerlessness. We are powerless. We gather on our weakness, on our recognition that our lives have become unmanageable, on our total recognition of our total dependence on Jesus to make us whole. That's why we gather. I want to invite the band to come up because I want to close with something a little bit different. And this is going to be like a mass confession. And so I want us to name some of our brokenness. And I'm going to read through a bunch of these. Some of them might be hard to hear because we do a good job of hiding these things, especially in the church and as humans. We do a good job trying to manage these things quietly or manage people's impressions of us. So after I read them, hear that clearly, after I read them, if you've ever wrestled with any of these things, I just want you to stand up. Don't stand up till the end. Wait until you've heard them all. And then if you have heard anything in there that you have struggled with, that's when we would invite you to stand. If you've ever wrestled with spiritual doubts, if you ever wrestled with spiritual doubts, if you've ever been so angry with God that you were embarrassed to tell other Christians, if you've ever had seasons where you've questioned your faith, maybe you've even out and out just rejected God altogether, if you've ever wrestled with insecurity or low self-esteem or depression or cutting or suicide, if you or a close family member have ever had substance abuse problems, maybe underage drinking or drugs or alcoholism, if you've ever had sex outside of marriage, maybe you've had an unwanted pregnancy or an abortion, or if you've ever been part of a family where angry, bitter words got spoken on a regular basis, either by you or by somebody in your family, or maybe even on the way to church today. If you have ever felt like a vocational failure or a financial failure, ever experienced bankruptcy, or you've been fired or had a serious legal issue, if you've ever had kids who feel like failures because of their grades, or kids who get good grades but are plagued by anxiety or depression or stress, or the secret that they regularly cheat to bring home those good grades just so they could maintain an appearance. If you love God but you have a spouse or a child who doesn't come to church, maybe even they think they hate God, or they're just apathetic. Maybe you've just gone off the deep end and you've wondered what happened, and honestly, you feel like a failure. If you've ever been part of a family where there was physical abuse or sexual abuse, maybe you were the victim. Maybe you were the abuser. Maybe if you're married and it all looks good on the outside, you sit together, you talk a good line, but you haven't slept together for months, maybe years, and nobody knows. Or maybe you're never married, and you secretly wonder, what's wrong with me? You question if you're even lovable, and your self-talk is so destructive that it's tearing you up, but nobody really knows. And you wonder about God's care or love for you. Maybe you've been through the pain of divorce in your family. Maybe it was your parents, or maybe one of your kids, or maybe you left, or you were the one who was left. And you feel this incredible loneliness and rejection. Maybe your family has been rocked by sexual unfaithfulness or emotional affairs or deep betrayal. Or maybe you desperately want a child. And you hear parents complaining about their kids and complaining about parenting, and inside it's just killing you, and you get so angry, and you wonder why God keeps breaking your heart by not giving you a little life that you could treasure. And truth be told, you are filled with so much resentment. Maybe you or somebody in your family has an eating disorder, or a child or a family member who is or has been in jail or prison. Maybe you feel like a disappointment because you have a parent that you could never please. No matter what you did, you were never enough. And although you love and honor them, the truth is you carry deep resentment and anger. Maybe you carry a personal secret, like a sexual addiction, like watching internet pornography or visiting prostitutes. And the guilt eats at you, and maybe nobody knows. Or maybe you have a family who does know, but they desperately try to hide it or deny it. So today, if any of this stuff describes you, or maybe your situation or your parents or your kids, if you've been affected by these problems at all that I just listed, or God has brought to mind something just as broken but just not named, then I'm going to ask you to do a brave thing. I want you to stand for a moment. Just stand if this has been your experience, that you've been through something on this list. I'm standing too. I was already standing, but I'm standing now too. My family, my life has been plagued by many of these things. But look around. Look how many are standing. It's everybody. We don't all have it together. You know, we don't have it all together is what I meant to say. We don't have it all together. In fact, when you're trying to look like you have it all together, when you're trying to manage everything on your own, you don't have to act. You don't have to hide. You don't have to pretend. And I want to say to those of us who are standing, if you've messed up, if you feel like the most broken person in the room, you need to know that this is your home. And this is your family. You belong here, and you are not alone. The struggles you're facing right now have been faced by your brothers and sisters. You are not a failure. You are not weird. You are not different. You are not a lost cause. And you are not alone. All people are broken, but all people can be healed. Your brokenness is not the end of your story. Admitting your brokenness is just the start of your next chapter. Listen to these words. Surely he took our pain, he bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us. Lord God, we admit our brokenness to you, and we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, to take our brokenness and start to repair it because of the sacrifice that he made, because of the love that he has for us. Our brokenness, our weakness is turned into strength because of you. We pray this, that you would keep working in this room, work in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a holy space. We want to pray for you. Reggie, would you come forward? And if you need to pray with somebody, Reggie's going to be up here. And anybody else who wants to come up and pray, come and pray while we close out our service.
Where I lay down every burden, every crown. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where.